When it comes to prayer, you should use absolute reverence, as if you're talking to someone like the Queen, someone important and inaccessible to most people. You should use big words to show that you're really making an effort. It should sound something like this. Heavenly Father, beseech not unto thee how, now, brown cow, mine soul is so weak and dry, and if I could just catch a morsel of who you are so verily, merrily, down the stream.
God, you're greater than anything this world has to offer. I can't wait for your return. But until that time comes, would you help me to live my life day after day as if I'm walking alongside you? God, I have a lot of needs. I have a lot of wants. Sometimes I get those two mixed up. Help me to just trust you to meet my needs. And be thankful when you give me the things that I just want. God, I've blown it so many times. Sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness. I don't take it for granted. And God, I'm constantly reminded that this world is filled with spiritual battles, so please can you help me to walk in such a way that I don't stumble so much. As I'm going through the day, I'm going to live my life in such a way that would bring you glory and honour. May the life I live be a life of worship to you. Amen.
So later on, probably in a few weeks' time, we're going to be doing 24/7 prayers. Anybody know about 24/7 prayer? We've done this before. Basically, the idea is that we're going to be praying unbroken for a whole week around the clock. So you'll be needing to sign up for slots. We're going to need some hardcore prayers who are going to come at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. We're going to set up a room at the church and you will sort of hand over to the next person who is praying when you're finished. So just keep your eyes peeled about that. Mr. Ouahand, come to the front here. Let's give Dave a round of applause. This is Dave Ouahand. Tell us, Dave, what do you do?
I'm in the Navy.
Bless you, my friend.
Sorry.
And Dave, is 2012 going to be a good year for you?
It's going to be an awesome year, yes.
It's going to be a good year. Anything in particular happening this year?
Not that I can think of, no.
No? Okay.
No. I'm getting married this year.
Oh, he's getting married. He's getting married. So not only are we going to have Mr. Ouahand, but we're going to have Mrs. Ouahand around as well. Is there anybody who doesn't know how to spell it, who wants to have a bash at spelling Ouahand right now? Come on. Where's the teachers? Where's the teachers? Howard Jones. I think Howard Jones. Howard Jones. We want a stab at the spelling of Ouahand.
Begins with A. You know, I've got no clue.
Ooh. No, you're wrong. Starts with an O. O U W E H A N D. So, Dave, the reason I got you at the front here, that was a word of knowledge I just had there about how to spell his name. The reason I got you at the front is because you are going away, aren't you, for a few months. So,
yes.
Just tell us what you can tell us about going away.
Okay. I sail on Wednesday. I'm off to the Gulf. Going for about 7 months. So should be back in August, which should be a good trip, but I'm not looking forward to going, to be honest with you. But, you know, it's part of the job, so it's the way it goes.
Okay. Yes. So pray for Dave, pray for Anna, because Anna's going to be marrying Dave. So she probably needs prayer and fasting. It's kind of taking it to the next level for her.
But a lot of prayer.
We just love Dave. So Dave's going to read our passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke Chapter 22, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read quite a chunk there, so it's great if you bring your Bibles to church. Luke 22, verses 35 to 51. When you're ready, Dave, shoot.
Yep, lovely. Okay. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it. And also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment. The disciples said, See, Lord, here are two swords. That is enough, he replied. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, Pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted with sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike them with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, No more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him.
Thank you, Dave. Lord, we just pray that as we come to your word this morning, that you would just really open our hearts and our minds, not to what I want to say, Lord, but Holy Spirit, to the things that you want to speak into the life of both individuals and the life of this church. We're excited about this year, Lord. We're excited because you are with us, and we know that you are good and your plans are good. So may we just kick off the year well here, Lord, and just really hear from you today. Amen. So for those who were here towards the end of last year, I did a series called No Bags Allowed. We were looking at the passages in Luke 9 and 10 where Jesus sent out the disciples and he said to them, Guys, I'm sending you out into a world that is broken. You don't need to take your bags. You don't need to take your money. You don't need to take an extra set of clothes. Just rely on me. And as they went, people were healed, lives were changed. The Holy Spirit turned up and did some incredible things. And yet here in Luke 22, we see Jesus saying something very different. First, he asked the question, Guys, when I sent you out in Luke 9:10, without your bags and your money and all that stuff, did you lack anything? No, Lord. We didn't lack anything. And then he says this, Guys, if you got some money, grab it. Grab your coat. In fact, better yet still, sell your coat and get some swords. Is there any more passage in the Gospels that is more confusing than this? Does anybody read the Bible and get confused? Is it just me? Jesus, what are you talking about? Sell your coats and buy swords? What is going on here? Well, I did a bit of research this week, had a look at some commentaries, had a look at some different things from different people about what this passage is teaching, and it really didn't help me at all. But there are some really simple things that I want to say about this passage that I think are really here in the text. The first thing is that we go through seasons. I think Jesus is saying to the disciples here, Guys, you now need your bags and you need your money. A sword might not be a bad idea, because they are entering in to a different season. How many people know that life is all about seasons? You heard about the African pastor who came to England, and he came in the winter, and he stepped off the plane, and as he stepped off the plane, the biting Heathrow weather hit him. And he rebuked the weather in the name of Jesus. And his friend, the English pastor, had to explain, No, it's seasons. You know, we can't change the seasons. And I don't know what kind of a season you're in at the moment. Maybe you're in a really exciting season. Everything is just great. You're going from victory to victory and life is just fantastic. Bless you. We love you. We really do. Maybe life is a bit tough at the moment. There's some difficulties, some pain, some struggle. Life is about seasons. And I think here Jesus is just indicating that to his best friends. He's saying, look guys, things are going to get tough. But here's the hub of what I want to say this morning. Here's the question I want to ask you guys. In every season you face, are you fighting with the weapons of your flesh, or are you fighting with weapons of the Spirit? We see two really contrasting different things happening here with Jesus and with Peter. When you read the Gospel of John, we are told in John that Peter, bless him, he is the one who takes out his sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, the high priest. I love it, actually, that somebody, whether it was Peter, before he gets there, he says, Lord, shall we strike now? And there should be another verse in there somewhere where the Lord speaks and the Lord says something. But before waiting for an answer, Peter brings out his weapon of the flesh, his sword of the flesh, and he mutilates this man into a Van Gogh. Van Gogh, as we should say in England. Sorry, I'm married to an American. Van Gogh, Van Gogh. Van Gogh. What is it? I don't know. I was talking to my friend Jonathan this week about this passage. Jonathan's one of those people that when you talk to him about the Bible, he sees things that like I don't see. Do you know those kind of people? That you're like, well, you know, I'm reading the same thing, Jonathan. Where is that in your Bible? Is there like a piece of my, you know, he just sees things. And he said this to me. He said, you know what, Gareth? When we operate in the flesh, when we bring out our weapons of the flesh, we can actually hinder people's ability to hear God. Wow. And I would like to be a person this year that actually God is speaking to people through me. I would like us to be a church where God is saying many things to our community and to our city. That the Holy Spirit is using us to be a mouthpiece for God. And yet so often when we reach for those weapons of the flesh, so often we can actually destroy, hinder, mar people's ability to hear the Lord. I've said it before, but there's two reasons why people don't become a Christian. One, because they haven't met a Christian. The second one, because they have met a Christian. And because there's so much flesh in that person's life, there can be that thought, well, if that's what following Christ looks like, then better not bother. A very famous person who had that kind of thought was Gandhi. That actually, when he read about the teachings of Jesus, he was blown away. He thought, this is phenomenal. But then when he saw the church, he saw a lot of flesh. So here's the question this morning. In every season that we face this year, are we going to be a church that picks up the sword of the Spirit? Are we going to do battle with things in our lives in a godly way, in a Holy Spirit way? Or are we going to be fighting with the flesh? Let's talk a little bit for a moment about ways that we can fight in the flesh. The first thing is obviously the bad stuff in our lives. We're all aware of stuff that we need to deal with, of things that God needs to correct within us. I can remember many moments growing up where I just had to get myself right with God. And I tell you what, that's a season that never changes. There constantly seems to be those moments in my life where, whether it be in a meeting or whether I'm just praying or talking with somebody, where I think, God, I've just got to get myself right with you. I can remember meetings when I was a teenager where we'd have appeals at the end of the service. And for some reason, the front was the place where you got right with God, because that's where God lived, at the front of the church. And there would be these meetings where I would be convicted, but I wouldn't be that willing to respond. So I would think, Lord, I will go to the front. I will do that for you. If first of all, you would do some things for me. The first thing is, Lord, I don't want to be the first person to go at the front. So you'd be sitting there and you're thinking, yeah, I need to get to the front. I need to get to the front. And then you would look around. Anybody else gone to the front yet? No, just carry on waiting. Oh, somebody's gone to the... Then the second thing was, it was quite a critical thing that the person who was coming to the front, first of all, was quite a spiritual person. Because if they're coming to the front, then it's okay for me to come to the front as well. I mean, if it's Mary with all of her issues, I mean, we know Mary's got issues. I mean, she comes to the front every single week. But my, if it's Bob, oh, Bob's holy. So if Bob is coming to the front, and if he is getting right with God, then I'm fine. People are going to look at me coming to the front, and it's going to be okay, because Bob is at the front. I remember one meeting, where the Holy Spirit just convicted me so much. The appeal was given. I was out of my seat and down the front. There was so much stuff going on with me, so much mess and brokenness that I just had to get sorted out, that I don't care. I don't care this morning. I'm just going to be the first person down the front. I'm not sure if I was. I wasn't really paying attention to anybody else. And I tell you what, God met with me because I had this desire to get myself right with him. And I just wonder, at the beginning of this year, as we're talking about fighting with the flesh, are there people here this morning? I mean, in some degrees, we can all say we are here this morning and we need to get ourselves right with God. But are there people here this morning that you just know, you know, that there is stuff in your life that has to be dealt with today? That there is stuff that the Holy Spirit has been talking to you about, stuff that the Holy Spirit has been challenging you about, that you know today you need to get right with him. We've been singing some really powerful songs this morning. I was singing, your love is higher, your love is deeper, grace flowing. I was thinking, God, I don't understand what I'm singing this morning. I really don't. I don't understand why you love me. Why don't you love me, Lord? Can I just tell you that God loves you? That when he sees the flesh and the issues in your life, he loves you. He has grace for you. His mercies are new every morning. That God is slow to anger, abounding in love, quick to bless. That if you need to get right with God today, please can I encourage you to do it today. Don't leave it another moment. With swords of flesh wielding around. So that's the obvious stuff. I just wanted to say that, you know, that's the stuff that we all know about. But then, here's the thing I was thinking about as well in terms of the flesh, is that sometimes we can fight in the flesh by using good stuff. Where am I getting this thought? Well, the sword that Peter pulled out was a sword that Jesus told him, you can have it, Peter. You need it. You need the sword. Now, just because he had it and Jesus gave him permission to carry it, did it mean that he should have used it? No. And that's where we get that missing verse there that should have said, Lord, shall I strike? No, Peter, just calm down. Two swords is not going to be enough people to take the 150 people that are coming to arrest us. But those verses are missing there. And it just occurred to me that sometimes we take even the things that Jesus has told us to carry, that maybe we used them back in 1976 or 2011 even, and those things were right then, but Jesus is saying today is a different season. I was thinking actually about Luke 9 and 10, and I was thinking about these guys who went out, just took huge risks. They went out, didn't need any stuff, left that all behind. They went out to the villages, they proclaimed the kingdom of God, and they saw people healed. I was thinking about my kind of response if I was one of the disciples. I think if I'd have come back from a time like that, I'd be thinking, wow, look at me. I'm the man. I can heal people. In fact, what I'm going to do, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be called the No Bags Allowed book. It's going to be the method of reaching. I'm going to start a church, and the church is going to be called the No Bags Allowed Church. And it's all going to be about this method, this way of reaching people, which is the No Bags Allowed method. You guys are more holy than me. So you probably would have come back and thought, wow, Jesus is wonderful, he's great, God is good. But I think there would have been this thing within me that says, oh, I've done pretty good there. I'm doing all right here. That's pretty amazing stuff you've done there, Gareth. See, even the methods and the things that God gives to us, they can be the things that we place our confidence in. That Peter and James and John could have had a little huddle, said, we got it now. We know how it's going to happen. All we've got to do is the no bags allowed thing. If we just go out without our bags, then God is going to turn up. Well, no, he's not. God is going to turn up when we put our trust and our faith and our confidence in him. And I just wonder, as a church, are there things that we are wielding around at the moment that were yesterday's thing? And we're saying, look, this is great, this is fantastic. Oh, God's good and he's done some fun. And Jesus over here saying, kings, put your swords down. And we're saying, shall we strike, Lord? Shall we strike? And we haven't listened to what Jesus is saying. Is there stuff as a church where Jesus has moved on? He's saying, look, this is where I'm at today. You're still where I was at yesterday. See, it's all about relationship. I've been married 12 years now. I know I only look 23, but hey. And in those 12 years, my relationship with Audrey, it's grown. It's matured. Like a nice bit of cheese. No, that's not quite the right analogy there. It's developed. It's changed. And marriage is all about relationship. And what I'm saying is sometimes we reduce this amazing sense of relationship with God down to a method, down to a program, down to, oh, well, you know, I did this and it worked 3 years ago. Well, are you doing it today out of a sense of relationship? Maybe the Lord is saying something different. Maybe here's the really simple thing I'm trying to say. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus today? Have you spoken to Jesus today? Has he spoken to you? Is there that sense of you walking with him and talking with him and knowing what his mind and his heart is for your life? So let's be a church that puts away the swords of the flesh and the weapons of the flesh this year. Let's be a church that picks up the sword of the Spirit, the weapons of the Spirit. It's fascinating when you look at this passage that here's Peter ready to go 10 rounds. And what's Jesus doing? Praying. Praying. He's praying so hard that tears, sweat, blood is pouring out of his body. That Jesus has his mind on the cross. The Old Testament reference in Luke 22 is a reference to Isaiah 53, which talks about the suffering servant. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter. That's where Jesus was at in prayer. Peter was in a totally different place. Because of his flesh, because of his tiredness, he can't even pray for a few minutes with Jesus. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? Say this to myself every day. Gareth, how much of a priority is prayer in your life, Gareth? I wondered if we did. I was going to do this, but I won't do it. Because I think people would cheat. But I was going to get everybody to close their eyes. And I was going to do a little survey of how much we pray as the King's Church. I've been to conferences where, you know, done this with leaders, and leaders on average are spending 10 minutes a day in prayer. And we talk about changing our city, changing our world. We sing about revival on a Sunday. On a Monday morning, we can't even find our Bible. And I'm talking to myself. This is not, I'm not somebody who finds prayer easy. And sometimes it's easier to go to that armor of flesh than to go to the place of the Spirit, because I haven't prioritized the thing of prayer. Are you guys praying? However you do it, you don't need to be religious about it. Little video there was quite funny, how some of us get into our little things of prayer. What is prayer? It's a relationship. It's a relationship. It's talking, it's listening, it's hearing. It's pouring out your frustrations and your hurt. It's listening to what God is saying. How much time do you guys spend praying? I was reading about Rhys Howells this week. Rhys Howells got a burden for prayer with some of his friends. And he decided that every evening, he was going to spend 3 hours in prayer with his friends. He'd like to prayer walk. He'd be going somewhere, and he just want to pray. But the thing is, he had an understanding that when you talk to God, you weren't allowed to have your head covered. So he wouldn't wear his hat. This was like almost walking the streets naked when he lived, you know. It was a very shameful thing to go out in public as a gentleman and not wear your hat. People would tut at him as he walked past, because he had a heart for prayer. Are we going to be a praying church this year? And I encourage you guys, when you get together, can you pray together? We should be doing that, shouldn't we? You know, when you're at the coffee shop, having your decaf, slightly foamed, caramel latte, one-shot cappuccino, how about getting some prayer in there as well? Just as you're in the middle of Costa, you're in the middle of wherever, just saying, you know, Lord, it's great to be with Sue today. Lord, just bless our time. If there's people that you want us to speak to here, just may our eyes be open to what you're saying. And spend some time praying. That whenever we get together, we should be praying together. How much of a priority is prayer. So in conclusion, let's be a church that doesn't pick up the sword of the flesh. Whatever that may be, whether it be just a really obvious sinful thing, whether it be something that is just, we started maybe in the spirit years ago, but this thing has turned into a thing of flesh. Let's put away those swords and let's pick up the sword of the Spirit. And let's fight. Let's fight with the sword of the Spirit this year.